views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from Hubbard Radio here on KKNW AM 1150 here in the Seattle area. You may be listening on WBLQ AM 1230 in Rhode Island, Connecticut, or New York. You might be listening somewhere across the country on Cable Radio Network, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be glad you tuned in. And we're going to be talking about tuning in a new way with an amazing woman, an award-winning author. But before I let you know who that is, I want to say hello to my better half in the studio here, the man who allows you to hear these wonderful conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
Good. I tried to go with just a simple intro. Rather than something all crazy or adding sound effects or anything like that, because you know me, I really don't know how to use them at all, but I'm sending a message to everybody.
Oh, dear. And what is that message?
The Hawks division championship game on Sunday. Uh-huh. We're a little bit pumped around here in Seattle. If we win this game, which I know we will, we're going to the Super Bowl game.
Well, you got to understand, there are going to be people listening from Peru, so you have to clarify these things sometimes.
The Seahawks are that big.
That's true.
They are phenomenal. They do their affirmations every day. Uh-huh. They get in touch with their team and then the sides of themselves that it's very appropriate to have a hawk follow me. Yeah.
And I love the fact that they do meditation, visualization. It's like they shifted something in the way they prepared for football, and the team shifted and they won the last Super Bowl and they're heading towards this Super Bowl. And I bet you anything, it's related to those, you know, the extra things that they do.
What's really great about the team, and more teams are adopting the ideas or ideology, I should say, and feel of what the Seahawks do. And it's perfect for our area and what we educate the general public, even in our area and the outer worlds. Mm-hmm. And I say Peru and included and all those other, it's amazing that a team like that can come together and gel so well. And then they do these other activities and bring the mind-body-spirit connection and glue it all together.
Yeah, and then hit each other on the field.
Exactly. And then do it again the next day.
And
the next
very day, right. About that.
You're cute. That was so cute. And one more for the round.
Okay.
We're done.
Right.
We're
yeah,
done.
Go
we're
Hawks.
Done. Yeah, right. See, I knew I could get a Go Hawks out of you.
So I'm really excited about my guest today. She has been on the show before, and I just love this woman because, first of all, as you know, I've got a background in a very rational-based area. You know, I'm a former research statistician turned energy healer, and I look at things rather differently these days. I look at things in terms of vibration, but I like to have it go beyond just the generic woo-woo of, you know, oh, we're all vibrating, you know, and it's like I want to hear a little bit more about the nuts and bolts, and I perceive things beyond the just generic you know, oh, we're energetic beings. And so I really, really resonate with information out there about what's going on and how we, you know, sort of mesh our vibrational structures, so to speak, with the vibrational changes on the earth. And so the woman I'm talking about today is Penny Pierce. She is a well-respected international expert on intuition and perception. She's a gifted clairvoyant, empath, and visionary. She's coached businesses, government leaders, psychologists, scientists, and spiritual seekers. And she's affiliated with all sorts of professional organizations. She's been on radio, television galore. And, you know, she's written several books. One of the first I ever read by her that I really liked was, I mean, the first book I ever read by her and I really liked it, was frequency, the power of personal vibration. And she also wrote The Intuitive Way. And her most recent book, I introduced to you guys on this show, oh gosh, I don't know, about a year ago or so, something around there. And I, if you'll remember what I said, this book is really, really important. And guess what? I wasn't the only one who thought so, because her book, Leap of Perception, The Transforming Power of Your Attention, won the 2014 Book of the Year Award from the Coalition of Visionary Resources. So I'm really excited to have her here today, Penny Pierce. Penny, welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show.
Thank you, Christine. It's good to be back.
Oh, you know, Penny, there, you talk about changes underway in the world, and I think on some level, many people, or most people, probably understand that there's some things that are shifting. But from your perspective, with your how in tune you are and kind of the way you perceive the world, what are the changes that are underway?
Oh, my goodness. First of all, I think that it's a huge change. It's not just a few little things. It's actually a very fundamental change in perception. And when you change your perception dramatically, and I'll explain that in a minute, but when you do that, you change your reality and you change your sense of identity.
Mm.
So many, you know, very deep kinds of changes occur. And in a way, it's like reality will function differently as more and more people come into alignment with it's kind of these new, I don't know, what would you call it, rules or principles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that they haven't existed before this, but there have been only a small percentage of people on the planet who were, you know, more enlightened and could, you know, live it.
Right.
Now we're finding, you know, that more and more people are kind of shifting into this state of awareness or way of being.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's creating more of a critical mass where it's going to accelerate things even more than it already has.
Right, right. And that, of course, affects everybody then.
Yeah, yeah. And people get swept up into it. It's kind of like, oh, the internet got started and it was kind of weird at first. And now suddenly it's like within a few years, you know, second nature to everyone, and even little kids are going up to TV screens and trying to move them with their fingers like toddlers.
Right.
You know, I read about that. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, and I remember, you know, being one of the first having this coupler, you know, dialing up on my telephone line, and it took forever. It was like you had to jump through all these hoops to get onto the internet. And then, boy, oh, boy, if you lost connection, you're swearing because it took so long to get there. And now it's almost instantaneous.
Yeah. And, you know, I say in a couple of the books, you know, that we're progressing from, you know, really from the industrial age that sped up and we got machines and we got computers and that shifted us into the information age, right?
Uh-huh.
So we went from sort of physical and body to mind, mental and information. And
Right. That
speeded up. We got, you know, to the point now where there's so much information available that you can't actually process it in a linear way anymore,
mm-hmm.
then that is exhausting us, trying to keep track of all the data and read things and do it in that old perceptual way.
Right.
So there's a point coming where we're just going to, like, blast through and say, well, I'm not even going to try to process it in a linear left brain way. I'm just going to shift right into intuition and, you know, grok it, as they used to say in, what was that old book?
Stranger in a Strange Land. Yes.
Yeah, just get it.
Yeah,
just
in a
right
really deep
away.
Way. Yep.
Let it be all over and know it with every part of your body and every cell of your body. And, you know, and so we're shifting kind of into an all-at-once field way of knowing things.
Uh-huh. And that reminds me about some of the children who have arrived on Earth in the last decade or so, who, instead of reading a book, they can pick up the book, feel, you know, the vibration of it, of the author when he or she was writing the book, and, you know, intuit everything from the book just by touching it. And it's the same sort of thing. It's like, if we have to read all the books we need to read and get all the information we need to get in the linear way that you're saying, we're never going to get enough of the information.
Right. And so the new perception that I'm writing about in Leap of Perception in particular is this shift from the linear, which is actually quite slow,
uh-huh.
you know, because it's based on separation. You have an inside world, and then there's the outside world that you have to overcome, and empty spaces you have to cross, and, you know, using a lot of willpower to make things happen and stuff. And we're moving into a spherical and a holographic way of knowing, where everything is part of everything else, and we're totally in the present moment. I mean, the past and future are in the present moment.
Right, and that's such a bizarre concept for our linear minds.
It is, because we think we still project the future out along a line and the past out along a line. But when you become a ball, you know, a sphere of energy, then that sphere can expand, and it includes all of that line. In other words, the line kind of turns into, you know, a sort of thing where you have access to every point on every line that might be going, because it's all in the sphere with you. So that the future becomes kind of like a higher frequency of your present moment. But it's in you now, but only separated from you by vibration.
So,
so if you can reach that higher frequency now, you'll be there now.
Yeah, and I think the million-dollar question becomes, how do we live within this sphere and begin to perceive, you know, not only the line that we once perceived, but all these different directions, all these different lines. And I'm going to want to hear all of your wonderful information, Penny, about how we can shift into this new way of perceiving this new reality when we return in a few moments here on the Christine Upchurch Show. I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Navy Command Master Chief Mark Schlosser from Vashon Island, Washington, currently at sea on board the USS Donald Cook, the finest destroyer in the fleet. We are forward deployed on patrol and ready to defend America at all times, safe without fear. I'm a huge Seattle Seahawks fan, and I want to wish them the best of luck in Sunday's game against the Packers. I'm in. Go Hawks, and go Navy.
What does a dentist of the year get? A little plaque. Welcome to Smile Big, where we offer cosmetic, restorative, and preventative dentistry. Dr. James Rosenwald and Dr. Susan Abdenard work hard every day for their clients to be happy to smile with the latest equipment for complete smile restoration for anyone. The sooner you call, the sooner they can help. Call 425-454-4040 or email scheduling at smilebig.com. You can even visit our website at smilebig.com.
Tune in to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to light bearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with one of my favorite guests. She's an award-winning author and an international intuitive, Penny Pierce. Now, Penny, you know, you're talking about a shift of perception and how it's going to become easier and easier once, you know, enough of us learn to perceive things differently. Let's start with the nuts and bolts of how we know we're getting urged or invited to begin to perceive things differently.
Yeah, there are, I think, quite a few symptoms that we go through that have to do with really the acceleration of life and of the planet itself. Because I think the physical plane itself is getting faster, vibrating faster. And that means our bodies are too. So that, you know, some of the early symptoms are really an irritated feeling of the body where people get overheated, their heart pounds, they get rashes, and or heavy irritability, you know, and rage and outbursts, and that things are not functioning the old comfortable way, you know, and so it's getting faster, and the old ways don't work as well anymore because they're too slow.
Sure.
And we're feeling pressured to go faster and without knowing how to do it exactly. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of really irritating symptoms. But also there's a constantly accelerating, I call it ultra sensitivity, where we're becoming aware of more kinds of information that comes straight through energy. Mm-hmm. So energy information.
Right.
That you're picking up empathically and telepathically, you know, in very subtle ways. And it takes a while first to realize that that's what you're doing, that, that you are getting actual data.
Right, right. I think a lot of people second guess themselves, like, I don't have any reason to dislike that person, you know, and then they judge themselves or, you know, as crazy or as, in a, you know, thinking that, their perception is inappropriate based on social norm.
Yes, the social norms. Yeah, those are really needing to change.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's almost like there are no more secrets. Uh-huh. Everything is suddenly coming up out of Pandora's box where it was safely stored in previous years because the frequencies on the planet were much lower, which meant, I think, that fears could easily be denied and pushed down into a lower vibratory level and no one could see them.
Yes.
But now there is no lower vibratory level where those things can be stored. So they're all popping up into our conscious minds and into the news, which is the conscious mind of the countries.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so scandals and things like sexual abuse and physical abuse and all that stuff that used to be, you know, taboo is now out in front of everything.
Right.
And so all the individual fears that people have are coming to the surface and floating around in the field. And we're sensing that.
Right.
And then not knowing whether, is that my problem or somebody else's? Is that my information or does that belong to someone else?
Right. And do you think that through this process that people's repressed stuff, junk, you know, childhood and perhaps past life, difficulties and blockages, do you feel like they are coming to the surface as well?
That's it. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All that stuff. It's the clearing process, which has to happen before we can really progress. Because, you know, it's like in relationships. You fall in love and, you know, everything, and you're so happy to be in love in that state. And then everything that isn't love comes up into the space with the two of you.
Right.
To be cleared, really. Because if you really want love, then you can't have the yes buts in there, you know. And so then often that will break people apart, that clearing process.
Right.
Same thing is happening, I think, in a general way. In people, you know, it could be, you know, I'm afraid of being abandoned. I'm afraid to be alone. And all these really core human fears
And
are coming up.
And you start to see people's control issues. You start to see people's, you know, childish ways. It's for me, it's when you start to perceive people and their issues and our and my own, like for our own issues more clearly, then it totally shifts how you operate in the world.
Yes. You can see it, and then you can start to understand it, too, you know, and know that this is not a negative thing. It's actually, if you put attention on it, and remember, my subtitle of my new book is the Transforming Power of Attention, not Intention.
Right, right.
You put attention on things, and you find the soul in it. You find the life in it, and you understand it reveals itself to you.
Yeah, that's
so powerful.
So you
have to be with these things. And then they dissolve, and you see the illusion or the misperception that was caught in it, where the contraction occurred.
Right.
Because the fears really don't let the soul flow through. They don't let the flow actually move anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's funny, when people hear that, like when you put your attention on it, then it will get released. The bottom line is, though, that you can't have your awareness and have your attention there with the purpose of getting to the other side of it, can you?
No, because there's no other side, really. There is, when you go into something, you go to the center point, to the core.
Okay.
And what's in the center point of everything is love and the soul.
Uh-huh.
And you're back to the ground of being again that we all come from, which is that unity. And it doesn't matter where you put your attention. If you keep attention on something and penetrate into it, you feel into it, and you merge with it, then you become it, and you know it from the inside, and suddenly you're one with it.
Right.
You know, and there is, you're back to unity.
And so we've got a lot of people shifting in their awareness. A lot of people having their stuff come up. Are we sort of creating a bit of chaos at this point with all this?
Of course, it is chaotic. This whole release process is chaotic on the surface. But it's like a knot. It starts to get untangled by the people who are willing to clear themselves. And a lot of people are doing that right now.
Right.
They, you know, how do you know you're headed for the change? I think it's like you're standing in a doorway. And if you kind of dip back to the left, you know, it's the old reality. And often it'll start to feel sticky or slow or heavy or depressing or gray or, you know, just kind of like old dinosaur, you know, functioning.
Right.
And then if you dip to the other side, like let's say to the right, and look out there, it starts to feel like fluid and easy, and synchronicity is natural, and miracles are sort of the new way. And you go, wow, this is great. I'd love this. But then you go back to the other side and say, yeah, but it's impossible.
Right.
But then you go back to the other side, yeah, but it is possible. Now, wait a minute. How could it happen? And you know, you oscillate until you finally decide, I just can't stand the old reality anymore. I'm going to go for it. I'm just going to step through. And, you know, as you do, really, sometimes it's just that choice that gets rid of a lot of the old stuff. There is no need for linear processing anymore.
Oh, that's, you know, so big. I want you to emphasize what you mean by that, because this is so important, Penny.
Well, we always talk, I mean, when you have past, present, future, the way of clearing something is you have to go back into the past, dredge it up, get the thing, try to, you know, process it.
Be in therapy for 10 years. Yeah.
And go to therapy for 10 years. And then hopefully, you know, you won't project it onto the future.
Uh-huh.
But in the new reality, where everything's in the present moment, it's a matter of what you place your attention on. That's what becomes real.
Uh-huh.
So if you put your attention on your fears and say, well, I've always been this way. My family has always been this way. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm this way. Mm-hmm. You know, and you have your explanation in a linear fashion for why I am the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's what will happen. You'll keep that happening. But if you pull your attention out of it, like I think of it like unplugging a headphone jack from your iPod or something,
uh-huh.
and just I'm not listening to that channel anymore. It's boring.
Right.
It's not bad. It's boring.
Uh-huh.
It's old. I'm not interested in it.
It's not a pushing away. It's not a suppressing.
No.
It's not an avoiding. It's an accepting but stepping away from it.
That's it, because willpower doesn't work anymore to do almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
And resistance is willpower.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So if you push willpower on it, it means you believe in that thing, that you want that thing, and you're pushing on it, but you really can't do anything with it because it's not in the present moment with you.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Right.
So,
it does.
You know, so the way to work now is just be in the moment with a fear, let's say,
mm-hmm.
and be with it. And place your attention on it, and then go into it. See, well, why are you there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was there an original cause of this, or some kind of misunderstanding that I somehow got stuck in? And then you go in and you find the fuller explanation and understanding, and then the whole thing dissolves.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly you have clear light, clear energy, clear space for more of your true self to flow through, and then things get that much easier.
Right.
And then it's easier to process the next fear that pops up into the present moment.
And there's more and more and more of the stuff to process. I think there are a lot of people out there who think that if they get to a certain level of their spiritual development, then they've cleared out all their stuff.
Right. Well, it could be the case, but then you start clearing out other people's stuff.
Yeah. And I'm going to want to talk to you about that because I have been experiencing that myself. But we're going to have to go to another quick break. More with the wonderful Penny Pierce when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Yesterday my life was filled with rain, sunny. You smiled at me and really eased the pain. Now the dark days are done and the bright days are here. My sunny one shines so sincere.
It's here. The 23rd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference, February 12th through the 16th. This year's theme is I Am We, Hearts Connecting Communities. Join us Valentine's Day. Maiden Mother Crone by Sinner Saint Burlesque will entertain, challenge, empower, confuse, embrace, and deeply engage the audience, weaving feminist activism and our sensory exploration for both ancient and modern myths about the feminine. Community-building events include open-space World Cafe dialogues with Inspirational Jane to explore important issues to women and a teen activist panel interwoven with intergenerational dialogues. Find out all the details at www.womenofwisdom.org. That's www.womenofwisdom.org.
Register for a half-day workshop and bring a friend for 40% off.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Sunny, thank you for the sunshine you gave. Sunny, thank you for the love you brought my way. You gave to me your all in all, and now I feel 10 feet tall. Sunny, one soul.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, AM 1150 here in the Seattle area, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today with Penny Pierce. She is the author of several books, including her most recent award-winning book, Leap of Perception, The Transforming Power of Your Attention. And Penny, before we get into some more of our wonderful conversation, I'm really excited because you're coming to the Seattle area and we've got lots of listeners here in Seattle. Can you share a little bit about what you're going to be doing when you're here in February?
Yes, yes. I'm going to be presenting a workshop at the Women of Wisdom Conference. And that'll be, I believe, on the 12th, the evening of the 12th, uh-huh. and then all day on the 13th.
Right. Friday the 13th.
Yeah. And it's Friday is only open to women, but the evening one is open to men as well.
Uh-huh.
And it will be on frequency and changing vibration and new perception, all of this that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll have some time to do some private sessions with people, I think.
That's great. That's
in
great.
And around that.
And if you want more information, you can definitely go to Penny's website, which is pennypierce.com, PennePierce.com. And I'm sure that you can go to the Women of Wisdom conference as well, conference website as well. But anyway, you know, you and I were talking about how when we begin to be invited, or rather kicked in the pants to begin to perceive things differently, the uncomfortable symptoms we can experience, but the positive side of when we allow ourselves to shift and perceive things differently, how we have this release and greater ease. Now, for me, as I guess I consider myself to be an empath, an intuitive, you know, definitely energetically based, I've been feeling pretty doggone uncomfortable off and on for many months now. And recently I found that, you know, there have been a few things going on. One, I've been doing a lot of processing of grief. And some of it, yes, I know is mine. And some of it, I have no idea where it's coming from. But it almost feels like I'm helping release planetary grief. And there have been other strange things, like I'll start to drive through an intersection and start hearing on a subtle level, like crashing of cars, like I'm picking up things that have happened or going to happen. It's a little bit overwhelming. Am I alone? Am I just crazy?
No. I was saying before the break that I think we're all becoming very ultra sensitive and uh-huh. picking up on more and more energy information from being empathic, and that I think is, you know, directly through the body,
mm-hmm.
and then telepathic, which is almost like reading minds or just picking up thoughts that are floating in the air, you know, and ideas and pictures that are just suddenly revealed. And it's like we are porous now, and stuff comes in. So
mm-hmm.
It's not unusual at all, but it is important to understand that you don't have to notice everything, you know,
okay.
that you can say to yourself, I just need to notice what is useful for me, and if I can do something about it, if I want to do something about it,
right?
If I need it for my further understanding, okay, but if not, I don't have to know everything. And you can filter it a bit that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, as I said, the collective subconscious mind has opened, and things are surfacing constantly. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of people's pain and mm-hmm. wounding, but also old ideas of not really feeling a sense of self, uh-huh. like people who've been abused or, you know, put down for a long time and are just now starting to come into their own and feel themselves again.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're angry, you know, and they're right. Almost militant in their desire to, you know, protect that sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
And it can look like ego. It can look like, you know, demonstrations out in the world and in the news and or reality TV, you know, where everybody's trying to get attention.
Right.
You know, and so there's a lot of different kind of voices out there right now, and grief is one of them.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think in some ways grief is an emotion that's going to be outmoded.
Interesting.
Because it's really the left brain thinking that something is gone, that you don't have it.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as you actually feel that it, everything is still there. Even people who've died, they're still there
right.
at a different frequency.
Uh-huh.
Just match your frequency to them and you can still connect.
Right.
You know, and things come in and out of form constantly. It's only the left brain that wants to, you know, keep everything just as it is, defined and permanent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so as you let go of that kind of need, then grief disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that may be what's happening now is that, you know, if you're feeling pain and suffering and grief over that, that it's that you're maybe showing yourself how to start dealing with suffering.
Right.
Which is a big thing that's coming up now, I think.
Yeah. And I also think that as we begin to open our perception, at least for my experience and some other people I know, there's a heart opening that seems to accompany it. And with that heart opening creates this new kind of connection and vulnerability. So when you see somebody experiencing pain, it in some sense becomes our own. It's not that, you know, it's funny because for me, once upon a time, I was rather codependent. I wanted to help fix things for people, right? And that gave me value. And I feel like I've pretty much gotten beyond that. But there's a different kind of witnessing and processing for others that I feel like I've stepped into. Are there some of us who are supposed to help others to process?
I don't think there's a supposed to anymore. I think there's just wanting to.
Uh-huh.
It's something that if you like it, you can do it.
Right.
You know, and there's no, everybody says, what am I supposed to do with my life?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
So what do you want to do? And, but I think that the heart opening, it comes with being in the present moment and being in your body. And that center point is the heart, really. And once you get centered, and you will be heart-oriented.
Right.
And then immediately there's this is the holographic part of the new perception, is that when you get in your heart or in the center of any particle or cell or your brain or any center point, you immediately start a resonance, like a tuning fork resonance, to every other heart center or center point in the universe.
Oh.
So you enter, I call it the heart field.
Right.
And that is really that feeling of love that isn't a romantic love or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's that feeling of how everything fits together perfectly and,
uh-huh.
you know, it supports each other and how cooperative and safe things really are.
Mm-hmm.
And so by getting centered, you can, you know, kind of merge your brain and your heart, because the heart is now found to have brain cells in it. You know, it is a kind of heart.
Fascinating.
I mean, a kind of brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we misunderstand heart. We don't quite get it, that it is a very neutral, like huge opening into a much greater kind of perception.
So,
and the rules of reality are quite different when you come from the heart kind of awareness or consciousness.
So I think what you just said is a little different than what we're used to hearing, and I think it's really important. How is the heart neutral?
To me, the heart is sort of the meeting place of the soul in the physical world and the non-physical world. When you go in there, you can feel yourself as both.
Okay.
I'm a personality,
uh-huh.
and I'm a soul.
Uh-huh.
And I'm an individual, and I'm part of a collective consciousness.
Right.
You know, I'm a particle, I'm a wave, I'm the field, you know.
Sure.
It's like everything comes together, and there's this experience of interconnectedness, unity. It's called the hierogamas, you know, the divine marriage point, where all those things that seemed opposite actually become versions of each other and are interconnected, and you go, aha.
Right.
So that's the way it works, you know, and you suddenly get it. It's often you'll see with people when their hearts open, their eyes also get soft and open like a baby's.
Sure, yeah.
They change. Their face changes.
Yeah, and I think of it as a certain glowing that comes through the face and through the eyes. It, you know, it's like there's more light emanating from a person's eyes.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we're experiencing these things and shifting, you know, Penny, one of the things that makes me uncomfortable at moments, and I think probably makes many uncomfortable, is things, the definition is changing, our perceptions are changing. How do we navigate life when it's no longer what it was before, and, you know, we're becoming something different, the world is becoming something different? And, you know, Penny, I'm going to want you to answer that question, because I know it's going to be more than a one-minute answer. We're going to go to a quick break here, but more with Penny Pierce will return in a few moments.
In retirement, will you have enough money to live life on your terms? Everyone has retirement questions. Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeff Packman about the new Confident Retirement Approach. You and Jeff can break down retirement planning step by step to get the real answers you need. In fact, 93% of clients who've had the Confident Retirement Approach conversation feel more confident about their retirement. Call Jeff Packman Financial Advisor at 425-453-0272 for your Confident Retirement conversation today. Office is located at 601 108th Avenue Northeast, Suite 1800, Bellevue, Washington, 98004. Percentage based on Ameriprise Financial Confident Retirement Client Survey as of December 2013. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated. A registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
Put a little
woohoo
in your life with Keys. Keys Clear Protein Waters have 22 grams of smile-making, attitude-adjusting protein in every bottle. Did I mention its tongue-tingling taste? Not just another guilty pleasure. With Keys, you'll enjoy every low-sugar sip and freedom from gluten, lactose, and GMOs. Who needs the fountain of youth when you can find Keys on Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com. Put a little
woohoo
in your attitude with Keys Protein Water.
Own your leadership, own your life. Start your new year right with this life-shifting all-day workshop led by Wendy R. Wolf and Lynn Brown in Bellevue, Saturday, January 31st. Step into more inner and outer leadership in all facets of your life. Activate the power in being present, owning your space, and harnessing all of your energy for you. Own your body, own your relationships, own your path, own your life. To register, go to healgrowshine.com or email Wendy at wendyrwolf.com.
Baby says she's mine, you know, she tells me all the time, you know, she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. I'm so glad that she's mine.
Welcome back to the Kristen Eptridge Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, I'm talking to Penny Pierce here, and your book, Leap of Perception, you sort of are creating this... It's almost like a roadmap of what is happening and how we can live and thrive in sort of our greater perception, our shift. But, you know, I'm having a hard time navigating myself. Personally, I have to tell you, Penny, that I'm feeling bombarded by information, so much so that when I'm driving on the freeway sometimes, it feels a little too intense. And I don't feel like I'm like going to a place of fear or anything like that. It's just kind of like, wow, there's so much information here. You know, I have to stay focused and driving. How do we start to open to this spherical perception and stay living and surviving in the linear world?
Yeah, well, okay, a couple things. One is that we are opening more into the right brain experience or the non-physical reality. And as we do, it's almost like it's kind of magnetic. It starts to pull us more and more in because we're curious about it.
Right.
And so it may feel like it's hard sometimes to stay grounded, or you can't stand to be in society too much, or there's too much going on in public places. And so there's a need for a little bit of cocooning or a time for clearing things. It could be a walk in nature would do it. But also there's a balance between working with the left brain and the right brain now, where we're not supposed to give up the left brain and our analytical skills.
Sure.
But it's not supposed to be the one that's running the show. You know, it doesn't know enough. It's not actually in the present moment.
Ah.
The right brain is the part of you that's very, very connected to the unified field and to the soul and to all the flow of what's going on, but it has no language.
Mm-hmm.
It's all direct experiential immersion, engagement. And so you have to go into the right brain to get saturated with a whole download of information. Then you have to bring that back up into the left brain and say, well, so what does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
I say, what am I noticing here? And make it conscious. So if you're picking up on all this giant amount of data out there in the world, part of your left brain has to say, wait a minute, I'm picking up on a giant amount of data right now. Do I need all this? Like, what's the most important piece for me right now?
And what do I do with all of it?
And then ask a specific question, and you will get a right immediate answer popping back to you from the field. It's a matter of a conversational interplay with the non-physical realms, which is your higher self, you know, which is our higher selves all connected.
But I think that you know? There's an aspect of this where you have to at least be aware that this is what's going on, because sometimes it can feel overwhelming when you're not actually perceiving what the download of all this information is. It just feels like overwhelmment, if that's a word. It just feels like there's just a lot of stuff to process, but you're not exactly sure or fully aware of what's getting processed. So how do you get to the point where you're feeling kind of overwhelmed and you're not exactly sure what all the information is? How do you create that dialogue between the right brain and the left brain?
Well, I work with what I've called the inner perceiver, which to me is just a function of our mind that helps you notice what you notice. Throughout the day. And, you know, each person could walk down a path and notice different things and make that experience meaningful to themselves in different ways, depending on what they needed. So I have made an agreement with my inner perceiver to trust it.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll check in a lot during the day. I'll go, okay, well, why am I noticing that? Or why did this synchronicity happen? Or why did I look at the clock when it's my birth date, you know, or whatever? And then I get an answer from that same function.
Got it.
And I think it's a habit that we have to learn to interpret reality, to see what we're showing ourselves. It's just like dream analysis.
Right.
You know, except it's during the day. Okay, why is this symbol coming to me? And work with it.
Right.
That way you start to integrate the non-physical patterns of knowledge that are trying to come through into crystallized knowledge. Then you can let it go again, go back into the right brain, and get back in for the next bit, you know?
Right.
So we're rocking back and forth. But, you know, one of the other things I've noticed happening lately, and you may have this too, is that there's a kind of a loss of identity beginning to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And that may be as we go into the right brain and we're starting to let go of the old ideas we have about who we think we are, our history. Like I've noticed when people say, well, how did you get to be doing what you do? And I go, okay, here's my story.
Right.
But I'm bored telling it. Because it's like, okay, well, it does make sense. And that's not, you know, really what I am.
Right.
You know, I'm a lot more than that. And And in each moment, there's a lot more that can come through without any previous explanation. It doesn't need a history in order to come through.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm starting to find that, like, I'll be driving and go, wait, who's driving this car?
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm walking down the hall of my house. How did I get to this house? Why am I living in this house? Who's walking down the hall?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and kind of like a kind of a boredom with the old litany of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that I'm going crazy. It just means that I'm more present.
Uh-huh.
In a more general, bigger way, and then I could become almost more like a shapeshifter. You know, you could, well, you need me to be this? Okay, I'll be this.
Uh-huh. But it seems like it would go sort of back and forth, because when you get back into the left brain, we have all this attachment to that identity, who we've been, our story, our relationships, our jobs, whatever it is that's shifting. How do we... you know, navigate this, letting go or shifting our attachment to these identities?
I think a lot of it has to do with languaging. Be careful of what you say, because it locks things down.
Uh-huh.
And it is left-brained. You know, the right brain doesn't have language. So the way you describe yourself, or the way the declarative statements we make about ourselves, you know, especially negative ones,
mm-hmm.
you'll say, oh, I don't know how to do that, or I can't do that, or I've never done that, or, you know, no one in my family does that.
Right.
Well, then you can't do it.
Uh-huh.
You know, but if you would turn that statement around and say, but I'm kind of interested to know what might happen if I did public speaking at a large scale.
Uh-huh.
And make it so that the energy can suddenly now start to flow somewhere just by opening it up. And it's a great exercise to do. It's just make a list of all your negative declarative statements.
Mm-hmm.
And then right next to it, turn it around into something that says, well, you know, it could be interesting if I did that, or I do like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
What would that feel like? I do like to do public speaking.
So it's...
And try it on, you know?
So it's kind of like... were in order to try on new costumes, so to speak,
yeah.
we have to be willing to disrobe from the old costume. And it shouldn't be something that we're like necessarily so sad about, because we get to like try on something new, play dress up in a new way, and perhaps play mm-hmm. a new kind of role.
Yeah, and you can always do the old one.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like part of this is the building of the skill with imagination.
Uh-huh.
We had it as children, but we got trained out of it. And the imaginal realm is that unified field where all possibilities exist.
Mm.
You can go there and pick any kind of flower you want, or any kind of food you want, or do anything you want.
Right.
And combine any variables that you want. And the end result will turn out magically different, you know. And it's no limit. So, you know, I think we've forgotten how to play in that imaginal realm.
And that
sounds... Because if you don't quite like your reality, why not introduce a few more variables that you do like and, uh-huh. and let it shift?
Yeah. And, you know, shifting is what it's all about, because our perception's shifting, our world is shifting. And, Penny, you're going to be here in Seattle to help people implement these things in their lives so that they can shift in positive ways. Can you tell us really briefly when you're going to be here?
Yeah, I will be there from like February 12th through the 15th or 16th.
Uh-huh.
And at the Women of Wisdom Conference, where I'll be doing a training and maybe have some time for private sessions.
Wonderful. And you don't want to miss it. I will be there. And I'm so excited, Penny, that you're coming to my neck of the woods.
Yay!
And I'm so grateful you've been here today to chat with us about this really important information.
Well, I love the whole topic of it. You know, it's constantly new and, uh-huh. and exciting.
Yeah. So thanks again. And I look forward to talking to you next time. And I look forward to seeing you in Seattle February 12th and 13th. Don't want to miss
Fantastic.
It, folks. And I'm so grateful you joined us here today. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey.
Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.